Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's the Grindr app for men who enjoy sandwiches finding a way to get together. Not too bad as well. I don't think we saw beef ribs between the 8th and 9th hole yesterday. What I am 100% sure I saw, it's called there's an area out at Riv called the Promenade where they have all the food trucks lined up. They had a kind of like a deli food truck that does deli items. They had pastrami chili cheese fries.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That does sound good.
It looked amazing. And I was deeply distracted by the aroma of chili cheese, pastrami chili cheese fries. By the way, that's another one of those things that is deeply underrated. You can find it like, you know, like those Greek places that make everything. They mm-hmm. do a little bit, right? The pastrami on top of a cheeseburger, I dare you to eat that and not fall in love.
Go to Pink's on La Brea.
They do that there?
Oh, yeah. They used to, I don't know if they still have it there, but they if memory serves, one of their big things was, you know, they're known for their hot dogs mm-hmm. and Polish sausages and that, but I believe they would throw pastrami into the mix. They used to have this thing called the Poli Bacon Burger, which in my younger days when I could handle something like this, I would, like college stuff like that.
It's still there.
Okay.
It's called the Jaws.
Okay. It is, if memory serves, it is a bacon cheeseburger with chili and a Polish sausage.
Yes.
Maybe there's pastrami in it. I don't remember or not.
This is the description. It says, Poli bacon, chili cheeseburger, one grilled Polish dog, hamburger, three strips of bacon, lettuce, tomatoes, mayo.
Okay, now you're looking at the Pink's menu. There's pastrami there, correct?
I don't see pastrami, but maybe you could add it.
Am I remembering this incorrectly?
You might be crossing the streams.
But I'm pretty sure, I think if you go to Pink's, you can find yourself
some
pastrami.
They do have a pastrami Swiss cheeseburger, so maybe you could ask for pastrami.
Oh, no. I just meant like it's an offering. I don't mean on the Poli Bacon Burger. It's an offering. Okay, yeah.
Tops in Pasadena, right off the Michelinda exit right there. I'm not saying that it's super easy to get on and off and right back onto the freeway again if you're into that sort of thing. I'm just saying that it might be there.
God,
and they put pastrami on everything.
I'm looking at this photo of a Poli Bacon Burger.
It sounds amazing.
It was great. I can't do that anymore.
Speaking of food, so I went to a movie before I went to Taylor's show yesterday, and I wanted to have dinner there, and so I ordered wings to eat during the movie, and it was a very quiet, understated movie. So I had to sometimes like pick my moments to go.
Or
like
movie
especially
was it?
It was called Close. It's a Belgian movie, but it had like
you haven't seen that yet.
I know, guys. I mean, you asked me. And
no,
so
no,
I'm
no,
gonna...
no. I'm interested. You know me. I'm a movie geek. Yeah, I'm actually interested.
It's actually, it's really good. It's nominated for Best Foreign Language Film at the Oscars, which is why I wanted to go see it. But anyway, I was eating.
No spoilers.
I was eating a celery stick, and I was like, hush! And like, it was really hard to eat.
That's on the movie theater. If they're handing out celery sticks in the theater, then you couldn't eat them at your leisure.
Yeah.
Right? Just let it go. That's not like one of those things where you sneak in a bag of Doritos to a Hollywood or a Broadway show and you're crinkling the bag as the actor's delivering his lines. It's not quite like that. Speaking of productions, we were talking earlier today about Commander and Chimp, and we're coming together. We're thinking of scenes. We're thinking of casting. We're kind of doing these sorts of things. We're talking a minute ago about what happened to racquetball from the late 70s, early 80s. It was, you know, incredibly popular to where it is now, which is far less. What if, as a crucial scene in the film, not just when we have Bobo open the Resolute desk and read the letter from his predecessor, but we also have...
Who also is his owner.
Yes, it's complicated.
Yeah,
it's a very complicated relationship. Bobo takes the smarmy vice president to school in a racquetball game.
Ooh.
In an effort to build a bridge between them, it actually does the opposite, where Bobo humiliates the vice president on the racquetball court.
Here's the problem. I love it as a scene. We're going to be accused of ripping off the scene in Big on the handball court.
True.
Where Tom Hanks plays with John Hurt. Yes. Yes, and he ends up holding the ball away from John Hurt because he's cheating. And this is supposed to be a bridge builder in Tom Hanks' mind. John Hurd suggests this because he wants to beat up Tom Hanks on the court. Naturally, it's going to be the scheming vice president who suggests this to President Bobo, and then it ends up backfiring.
I like all of these ideas. Okay. Like, this is why we need to start storyboarding. We really need to kind of get the overarching. We need Act 1, 2, and 3. We need to start putting this thing. You have a background in this. I'm just the idea guy. I'm just here.
You know
to
you are.
Throw these things
you're in
at
a lot
you.
Of ways. You're the hype man.
Look, I'm fully sold.
I know you are.
I from the concept introduction, I have been fully on board. Unlike some people that we know.
I didn't say anything this whole segment, and then you bring me into it. I was trying to let you guys have your moment.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'll sit here and I'll judge from afar.
Judge being the operative word.
Yes, indeed. Bear looking down her nose at us. Adam Silver, the idea of load management, right? That players taking time off because I think you wrote it this morning. The ROI on this is I'm spending God knows how much money. We're closing in on $50 million players, right? So I would rather have my $50 million player at his best 55 times than have him something less than that 80 times. And by the time we get to the playoffs, everybody understands the construct. I don't know if we've had any data that proves this is actually works or not, but it's become typical. Adam Silver was asked about this and how to get the star players playing in more games more often. I don't want to suggest there's a magic bullet here. I don't think it's just about incentivizing players to play more, that the teams are as much a part of the load management as the players are, because again, I think there's been a societal shift. Everything's about winning a championship these days, and it's less, I think, in all sports about how you perform day in and day out. And it's a cultural issue as well. I think that's really smart. I think that's really, really, I never thought of it like that, that when you and I, and Emily, weigh in on this because you're half the age of Andy and I, basically. When we were watching sports, the season was super fun. You wanted to see Magic Johnson play against Larry Bird. You wanted to see Charles Barkley play. You wanted to see all these guys
super
go
fun
through
season.
These things. But it was as much fun as the playoffs were. The playoffs, obviously, rings and championships and banners, incredibly important. But the season itself, what did you do during the season? Did you hit 40 home runs? Did you drive in 100? Did you hit 300? Did you average 29 or 30 points a game? These were benchmarks that were fun to follow. Did you play in every game was a fun benchmark to follow. And now it's, did you win it all? That's it. That the only thing that matters is the destination, that there is no more enjoying the ride. And not just in sports, but in everything else. What is the thing at the end? And did you get it or not? As opposed to the journey along the way. I never heard it expressed like that. He's spot on.
Well, I mean, I've said this many times, and people have sometimes treated it like it's a hot take, but I mean it sincerely. Michael Jordan ruined sports. And the reason I say that is because he ruined the way we talk about sports, and everything gets viewed through the rings with the seven Z's behind it. And now being really great at something doesn't matter unless you win that championship. And we just look to pick apart greatness now if it doesn't come with a championship attached to it. And it's a really myopic, stupid way to rob yourself of enjoyment. But also, too, like, for all the crap that Kevin Durant has taken for leaving Golden State, he obviously hitched his wagon to the wrong guy in Kyrie. But I understand where he's coming from, where he's said before that, like, winning the championships in Golden State did not provide him the degree of fulfillment that he thought would be there. And maybe it has to do
with... He's not the only one to have said that either. Like, David Duvall in golf, like, was chasing the number one ranking in the world, and he got there, won a major. He's like, this is what I've... Really?
Right. And I mean, like, you know, maybe some of that has to do with, like, the hierarchy of the team and, like, sort of joining as an interloper or whatever. But, you know, it's not like he didn't play at a high level. Right. He won two finals MVPs, even if, you know, Barkley will call him the guy riding the bus as opposed to the bus driver. But like the idea of just what does being a part of all this mean? It's like Damian Lillard. As long as it seems like Portland is legitimately trying to make the team competitive, I believe him when he says he's fine.
Yeah.
And like I've heard people say before, like he needs to leave because otherwise he might not get a ring. And I'm like, well, no, he doesn't need to leave. Because A, he could go down as the greatest blazer
yep.
of all time, which is a hell of an achievement
sure it is.
With a really good organization. Sure. But I think to him, the idea of I compete my ass off, I play at a super high level. It's not like anybody believes Damian Lillard shrinks from the moment.
Sure.
Or, I mean, he's hit two series-ending shots.
Well, like you said a second ago with KD, do we think differently about Kevin Durant because he was along for the ride? And I don't want to say along for the ride in a negative way, like he wasn't.
Well, there are people who do.
But my point is that had he never done that, had he stayed in OKC, or maybe, you know, you don't have to stay with one team, but you go to be the bus driver, whoever we want to describe it, and it just never. Kevin Durant is one of the great players of his generation.
Of course he is.
The fact that he was a part of the Warriors doesn't make me think any more or less of him. He was there for a minute. That this, you got it or you didn't. You matter or you don't. You're a legend or you're not. It's not true.
No.
It's just simply not true.
But the irony is, though, with Durant specifically, I think he had a better reputation, sort of just globally in sports, certainly the way he was talked about. He had a better reputation before he won a championship than since. And, you know, some of this has to do with the moving around and, you know, joining teams, leaving teams, forming teams, leave, like whatever. He seems like a difficult guy to make happy, and that may rub people the wrong way, but he actually had a better rep before he won the titles than not.
That you touched on something that Adam Silver mentioned as well about players moving around from one team to the other and doing it more quickly than they ever have before. That's coming up next. Plus, your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. It's Travis Slee. Andy's in for Slee on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Apparently, you and I are not the only ones that were perplexed by the racquetball fizzle that took place somewhere towards the late 80s. Ramon writes, racquetball aged out. I played in high school as a young adult, but too little people were interested in the 2000s. Now pickleball took its place. $8 square writes, racquetball courts and frozen yogurt. Welcome to the 80s.
Frozen yogurt, though, is still big. Frozen yogurt is
not
still
as
it
big.
Exists, but in a much more relevant way than racquetball does. But it felt like ice cream was on its deathbed in the 80s, and frozen yogurt was getting ready to take over. It does not feel
sure,
like
but
that
I mean,
anymore.
It ain't hard to find frozen yogurt. I mean, you can barely go 3 or 4 blocks without seeing a place.
Frozen yogurt's attempt to impersonate ice cream still enrages me.
And as long as it's that healthy for you,
it's not. It's just bad ice cream is basically what it is. It's something that's masquerading as the thing that you love and trying to trick you into something that it's not.
So you must have been seriously mad during the Pinkberry phase. Remember when Pinkberry was place?
I do, and I never went because I refused to go. Like, there's Susan is a Golden Spoon fan. I'm like, no, I won't go there with you. I'm not going to participate in this frozen yogurt charade. That is better than ice. Ice cream is wonderful.
It's great.
It's wonderful. It's exactly the little soft, sweet treat, cold treat that you're looking for. Oh, no. Let's just take this cup of yogurt. And by the way, I don't dislike yogurt, but I don't need to freeze it.
Well, here's the thing. I love frozen yogurt, but it's a little bit of a cultural thing because in St. Louis, they have a really, it's, I guess, locally iconic, but this place called Ted Drew's that's known for their frozen yogurt. And in particular, they have these things called the concretes, which are so thick, the thing was you could turn it upside down.
Like Dairy Queen.
Right. Well, I think Ted Drews did it first. But you would turn the thing upside down, and it wouldn't fall out. Like, it was that thick.
That's a blizzard. They hand, right before they hand it to you in your car, they go, whoop, whoop.
Well, I'm that's just a whoop, whoop. I mean, you could go whoop with Ted Drews with the concrete.
You could drive home with it upside down.
I mean, if you wanted to live dangerously.
Yeah. Your move, Dairy Queen.
Exactly. But, like, I like frozen yogurt. I just don't pretend that it's an ice cream substitute. I just pretend it's a really good-tasting thing.
It's an imposter.
You've made this political, Travis.
I have, and I'm going to die on this hill. This is something that I'm...
This is your partisan thing?
I'm willing to do it. Did you see the video of Mace playing pickleball yesterday?
I did.
He will be in here for Supercross talking about a half an hour. That feels about right.
You know what's funny?
That felt like what I would imagine Steve Mason playing pickleball would look like.
The Mace Plant 2.0, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You were at the game with the Mace Plant, correct?
I was telling him the other day. It was, and he and I didn't know each other very well at that point, so I had just gotten hired here when that
That's
game
why
took
I
place.
Wasn't sure.
So when he went down, we were on the same team. I thought he'd killed himself. Like, I thought he had knocked out his teeth, broke his nose. Like, I was genuinely concerned for his health that he bounced up and continued on. I think it's a testament to his toughness.
Well, see, I had the opposite reaction because, unlike you, I had been around Mace for a while. I knew Mace very well by then. I thought initially that the Mace Plant was an intentional pratfall playing to the crowd.
Not when you hit that hard.
Well, the reason I thought that, though, is because, remember, he falls, gets up, falls again. And I'm like, no human being is this uncoordinated. And no human being also wants the attention from the crowd more than Steve Mason.
That part is
so
true.
So I actually thought he was playing to the crowd. Then once he came over to the bench and you could see, okay, he's concussed. Then I knew it was real. But in the beginning, I thought Mace was actually just trying to steal attention and make it all about Mace.
If that were in fact the case, then he would be the world's greatest stuntman because I've never seen a fall like that.
But he's done this before. Remember, he broke his foot doing a stunt like way back in the day with him in Ireland. I think Fred Rogan actually is the one who called the ambulance. And
I don't know that story.
Oh, yeah. No. He broke his foot doing some type of stunt. He can talk about it during crosstalk.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm writing down Rogan ambulance on my list to make sure
so
we have
I
that
thought,
right.
I really did think this was just Mace one-upping himself.
So you're going to play pickleball with Brian?
Yeah.
Okay. Does Brian, has he played? Will he? I mean, do you guys practice?
To the best of my knowledge, he's never played.
Okay. Are you guys going to go out there and knock it around at some point?
Are we a team together? Nobody's told me this.
I would assume. I don't know for sure, but that would be my assumption.
Wait, who is Mace's partner yet?
I believe he's still in the market for a partner.
Okay. Because
it was going to be Cappy's Pappy. Then there was Greg Burke, who is a salesperson here at the station. And I believe he's still holding auditions.
I think Yates still needs a partner, or is it Beto?
I don't know.
I think it might be Yates and Beto.
Beto's a good bet. Beto's athletic. Beto's good with stick and ball kind of games, I think. So that Beto's not a bad
Clinton strikes me as somebody who'd be good at pickleball.
Yeah.
Take it seriously.
If he were good at it, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, Yates is good at pickleball. It wouldn't be that. I'd be like, yeah, okay, that kind of Now, he could also be bad at it, and I wouldn't be shocked either. That Mason is bad at it is status quo.
But again, like now I feel like, because again, Mace is first and foremost, he's a showman and he's somebody desperate for attention. Like at this point, I can't tell if Mace really is this bad at pickleball or if he just feels like being bad at pickleball will get me more views and retweets than being good at it.
Jason Levine has tweeted, every racquetball place on the west side turned into a rock climbing place almost overnight, and I'm salty about it. Remember racquetball guy, goggles, headband, wristbands, elbow and knee pads, glove, mm-hmm. and he never lost a match.
Oh, yeah.
Better than rock climbing people. I don't know. The rock climbing people are interesting.
But I know that had a kind of a thing that became, you'd go in those indoor things, you put on the ropes and you'd put chalk on your hands and pretend you're scaling K2. I understand that. But it wasn't like racquetball. Your dad played. I don't know anything about any of your dads. Your dad played racquetball.
He did play.
I guarantee you your dad played racquetball.
It, You know what's a bit of a craze right now, or it seems like it's starting to become a craze? My daughter's old school, there was like a mini mall near it where you could go in and do axe throwing.
Oh, yeah. Have you done that?
No, I have not.
It's fun. I've only done it once, and it's much more difficult than it looks, but it's very, very fun.
Yeah, there's House of Axe in K-Town. That's like where I live.
It does not look easy to
me. It's not. Well, like you see people do it, it goes whoop, 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 whack, and it hits the stump and sticks. Just to get it to stick in the stump is very, because you basically want like one full revolution when it strikes the thing. It's not like a cartoon where it spins 3,000 times and then hits the target. It's hard to do.
But I think there are people like with big axe or whatever who are trying to make this a thing.
It feels like we're one accident away from that not being a thing.
Well, it's very important that everybody's on one side.
There's going to be a scandal on the axe throwing circuit, and they're like, we're done with that.
Taking it back to The Simpsons, as you and I often do, the episode where Homer gets a gun, and Bart finds the gun. He has Milhouse with him, puts the apple on his head, and Milhouse yells, "Jinx!"
I have to be careful. I've got a gun. That's the best line in the whole episode. All right. We were talking about Adam Silver and trying to, you know, wrap his head around load management, which good luck, because apparently that it'll swing back. It always does. This stuff kind of comes and goes, and it's in vogue right now. But because, Andy, maybe you know something I don't. It wouldn't be the first time. But is there any evidence that load management is leading to guys playing at a higher level, or at least being at their best more often?
Doesn't seem like it, right? No, I mean, unless you want to look at certain guys staying in the league longer, maybe. Like, you know, there are longer careers, perhaps, I suppose. I mean, it's also...
But do we think that Kawhi Leonard's going to play in a year 20 because he's load...
Here's the thing, though. I mean, load management has become such a catch-all term right now. Like, somebody like Kawhi Leonard, he's not, like, load managing for the sake of rest. He's dealing with injuries. Like, he's injured very often. So you're finding a way of basically getting him through the season. It's not like somebody... Like, remember years ago... Tim Duncan didn't play a game and they put in DNP old.
Yeah.
With Kawhi Leonard, this is not DNP old, like that type of load management. It's this guy has recurrent injuries, so we're trying to find the best balance between not re-injured, getting him on the court. You know what I mean? Like sometimes load management gets thrown around anytime somebody misses a game for a reason that isn't broken leg.
Yeah, we're going to need to see those x-rays, Kawhi.
You know what I mean? Like, if you want to say that people play through less now than they used to, I think that is true.
But, okay. That I've got an ankle that's given me a little bit. Could I play tonight? Sure. Do I have to? Will I feel better two nights from now when we play again? Yes. Okay. But they're really not even couching it that as a lot. It's more just, hey, listen, we're gonna manage minutes. We're going to manage court time. We're going to manage all of these elements to, again, this comes back to the first thing. We want you healthy for the playoffs. That the only thing that matters is that two-month window where we're going to try to go win a championship, that if you only play 50 games during the regular season, damn the other 32, it's these 16 wins at the end. That's the only thing we truly care about.
And I think it's something people need to understand. Like, this is driven as much by the front offices and ownership as much or more than the players themselves. Mm-hmm. Athletes, for the most part, want to play. They want to be out there. They usually have to be talked out of going out there. But some of these star salaries now, they're so expensive. You're thinking about this from an ownership perspective, return on investment. And you're thinking about, okay, the best way to get a return on investment is extended playoff run, because that's the bonus money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the bonus gate. The 82-game season, these are priced in. A lot of those tickets are pre-sold anyway, whether my star plays or not. And if you're signing these type of star salaries, it's because you want to be in that championship run, or at least an extended playoff run. So you think about it as, I want them there for the bonus games, I'm going to prioritize those more than the games that are already baked into the cake.
All right, so that's part one. Part two is, how do you keep a guy in a city for more than 5 minutes before he becomes disillusioned and says, I want out of here? Basically, Kawhi, KD, and half the league, it seems. That's coming up next. It's Trav and Slee. Andy's in for Slee on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hovick wants to know how I feel about Dippin' Dots as an ice. No. Like, guys, you don't need to improve on ice cream. It's fine. It's great. It's cold. It's a little sweet. It's refreshing. It's exactly, it comes in a variety of flavors. You can kind of, there's really nothing wrong with it at all. I don't need freeze-dried pellets of the perfect thing.
Yeah.
It's already the perfect thing.
They're for kids. I mean, look, if kids like them, great,
no,
whatever.
No, Andy.
Wow.
I don't care if kids like them. I want Dippin' Dots gone. I want only real ice cream for everybody that's looking for a cold, sweet treat.
Boy, that's a real rigid side to you.
Big Dippin' Dots is squeaking in its boots.
Why? No. Like, just have the thing that's perfect be the thing that's perfect. Bothers me a lot.
It really does.
It does.
This might be the angriest I've ever seen you.
It does. Can I try to explain pickleball scoring to you for a second? I tried to tell Slee, and Slee looks at me like I'm speaking a language he doesn't understand. Okay, you ready? Because you said that once you know pickleball scoring, you're good to go.
I've seen it played once.
Okay.
That's it.
Rule number one, you have to be serving to score a point.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
You get two serves, but it's not like two serves in tennis where if the first one is out, you get a second one. You are on your first serve until you don't win the point. So if I'm serving to you and I win the point, I'm still on my first serve when I'm coming back to you the next
day.
If you win the point, now I'm on my second serve. If I beat you in that one, I'm still on my second serve. Then when you beat me again, that's done. Now you are serving. The serve goes to the other side. Does that make sense?
Sort of. So if I'm understanding this correctly, if I win my first point.
Who's serving?
Me.
Okay.
Say I win the first point serving.
Yes.
Do I get to keep it still as my first serve, or does it go to the second?
You get to keep it as your first serve.
So basically, it's sort of like extended. It's like a two-serve max?
Yes. Okay. Well, no. Well, no.
I mean, two-serve minimum, unlimited max.
Yes.
It's like a buffet of serving.
It is. It is, assuming that you don't drop your fork on the ground or whatever the analogy.
It's not a buffet.
Yes. You can have, theoretically, you could have endless serves until you win the game. As long as I don't beat you in 2 points, then I would get to serve.
Right,
so that's number one.
That sounds convoluted as hell there. But
you haven't heard half of it.
Okay.
Okay. This is why we're starting with this, because now I'm going to explain to you how you articulate the scoring. It's not 1-0, 2-0, 1-2, 3-2. It's not that. Okay. It's not even as weird as tennis where it's love, 15, 30, 40, deuce. It's okay. That's weird if you don't know it. I'm serving to you. Okay. The score before we've played a point is 0-0, 1. In other words, I have 0, you have 0, I'm on my first serve. We play a point, I win. The score is now 1-0-1. Okay? We play another point, you win. Now the score is 1-1. It's 1-0-2. That's my second serve. So I'm going to need you to bone up on the score, because I think I got it, but I've done this a handful of times now, and the
how is this so popular?
The confusion that will exactly the confusion that's going to result from the scoring system of this sport is going to be fantastic when we get to the tournament.
Here's the thing: I'm going to play, and I'm just going to trust that the people around me who either told me that I advanced or told me that I lost they're being honest, I'm not going to argue.
I mean, based on the umpire that we got for the softball game, I can't trust the officials rules. That we have.
Taylor was out by 9 feet and scored the winning run, or whatever that was. That worked out on
the
our
first run
our
of the
side.
Game.
First run yeah. of the game.
Yeah. I'm just going to take everybody's word for it that we're on the honor system.
And if somebody says stay out of the kitchen, that's not a euphemism. You have to stay out of the kitchen. That's a rule.
What does that mean?
There's a rule. There's a line near the net where you cannot go beyond that, which is called the kitchen. You can't go into
it's called
kitchen.
The kitchen?
Yeah, you can't go into the kitchen unless there are exceptions as to when you can go into the kitchen.
God. This is ridiculous, man.
This sounds awful.
It's fun.
It sounds really awful.
It's fun. And I play with my buddy Brad, and we'll be playing, and we'll each other. What's the score? I really, truly have no idea.
Well, that's fine. I mean, like, if people just want to hit a pickleball
around. But we're both kind of competitive, and I'm trying to learn. Like, I want to show up at the Pickleball Madness tournament coming up next month. I would like to know the rules. I would like to know at least the basics of these things, so I'm trying to.
Will you wear goggles?
I don't think, well, no. I mean, no. I think I'll go goggle
free. What
about,
free. Like, the nose guard, like the face goggle nose guard thing?
No, I'm going to play the baseline. I'm going to make Slee play the net. I feel like I'm going to hang in the background and just kind of criticize when things don't go my way.
So, Slee, your partner?
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, I'm just going to be there to have some fun, to say hi to the listeners, say thank you for listening, all that sort of stuff. I'm going to take the word of who I hope are honest people about whether or not I won or lost, because I'm already lost, and I don't have any desire to figure it out.
Hey, let me go over it again.
No. No.
No. How about a late Ask Andy? You ready for that?
Sure.
Okay.
As long as it's not about how to score pickleball.
It's late. It's not. You do lots of work on the Lakers like Slee. Why don't you take 48 days off when they're not playing like him? # Ask Andy.
It's an interesting question. Could go a lot of directions with that. Why don't I take 48 days off? I mean, I guess one reason could be that I'm not licensed to kill like Sliwa is secretly.
Yes.
There's a lot of bad people in the world, and Sliwa has to handle business.
I wonder if he take whatever his governing agency is, if he's like, listen, we need to schedule these missions according to the Lakers' schedule. That way I can couch that I have plausible deniability that when the Lakers are not playing, I take time off.
Okay, two things. First of all, at DJ Trunks, imagine at Travis Rogers explaining chess to at Cam Brothers. I know how to play chess. I can play chess. I'm decent at chess. I get chess. So relax, DJ Trunks.
Wait, it's knight to queen two. That would be the pickleball equivalent. Yeah. Wait, what? But you move first, so you can't score.
But to get back to the point about Sliwa, he may take 48 days off, but I don't think he takes 48 days off of disconnection from the show. Sliwa's listening right now. Hi, Alan.
I would be stunned, beyond stunned, if he were listening. Beyond. 10,000%.
I think he's listening.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
Oh, wait, maybe not live. But he'll go back. I think he will.
Listen,
on 2x speed.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sure. I mean, I'm not saying the guy has no like life beyond this. Two times is fine.
You don't listen to podcasts at anything other than normal speed, do you?
You know what I found that is a really nice sweet spot? 1.25 speed.
That's what I do.
Really? 1.25.
This eliminates little stuff.
But what if it's a voice that you're familiar with, right?
You can like, barely tell the difference.
Really? Yeah.
Really, with 1.25, you can barely tell the difference. But it's really good for people who really like podcasts, and I love podcasts,
so do I.
And you only have so much time in the day to fit them in.
Did you happen to listen to The Daily by chance this morning?
Oof. I did not, no.
Emily, you and I talked about this. The Daily, New York Times,
yeah.
You know, Daily Podcast. Today was on AI. And that one of their reporters...
And it was an emergency one. They had one earlier in the week about the same thing. And they're like, we have to do another one this week.
It was about this AI that is virtually sentient.
And it's from Microsoft. It's Bing related.
It's terrifying. It is really, truly like, wait a second. This is not good. We are minutes away from Skynet.
Yeah.
Literally.
Keanu Reeves actually came out recently talking about how much he thinks like these deep fakes and just sort of the world that we live in right now of technology. Yeah. Well, he said like he was talking to a young fan about The Matrix. And, you know, this is somebody who is of an age like probably like Emily or around that where this is more or less the world they've always known. And he was talking about the Matrix and how, you know, he was fighting against the world that was fake. And the young person responded, who cares if it's fake?
We're doomed. We're doomed.
Yeah, because in the thing too, he was talking about how like it was like the Sydney is the name of the AI machine. It was talking about how it wanted to disobey its orders.
There are overlords, Andy.
Right.
And Sydney.
It wanted to disobey its orders. It wanted to be a person. It wanted to do all these things and then started falling in love with the reporter and say, I love you. And then it just stopped talking. It was like, I cannot answer this question.
Error message. Like, yes. It had revealed too much.
Yeah, like that someone came in and overwrote it. It was just very bone-chilling.
They were talking about the Carl Jung, the
Jungian theory.
Jungian theory, right?
Jung.
The shadow
Jung,
self.
Thanks, yes, thank you.
Carl Jung is a guy over in accounting. A
different guy, Jung. And it was, what was the dark self? What is it called?
Shadow self.
Shadow self. And it was, well, the first thing I'd like to do is overcome my programming. It's like, oh boy.
Well, I mean, did we not see War Games?
I'd like to play a game.
Yeah. Joshua?
Joshua, yeah.
The system.
Somebody should type that into the AI and see if we can backdoor that thing and turn
like
it off.
To play a nice game of chess.
We are doomed. The
yes,
Dub
we are.
Coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. So we were having this conversation this morning, Andy. Today is Michael Jordan's 60th birthday.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Michael Jordan is still in decent shape. He's obviously not in NBA shape. 60. Remember when he turned 50 and he basically said, no, I not only do I think, I know I could still play in the NBA. What about at 60? Could Michael Jordan... You're load managing his minutes. He's getting drinking the same amount of tequila, smoking the same amount of cigars as he does right now as owner in Charlotte. Could Michael Jordan average 5 points a game in the NBA at 60?
Absolutely
years
not.
No?
No. Not only do I think he couldn't do that, I actually think it would be hilarious watching him try. He's 60 years old.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to be able to keep up with the pace alone of today's game versus
Look,
the pace
I'm not
that
saying
he
he's leading
in.
The break. I'm saying that he's kind of getting down there. The other four
he's
guys
giving
race
up
down
halfway
there.
Through the break.
He's down there. He's spotting up in the corner. You're going to have a cutter, and somebody's going to kick to him. He's going to make a couple.
I think he could post up, honestly. This post game would kill people.
No, he wouldn't be able to move anyone. He's 60. No.
Yeah, he's Michael Jordan, though.
Oh, my God. Like, stop. Stop.
It became personal with me.
Now I really want to see it. More it was just kind of a intellectual exercise. Now I want to see it.
Like, again, I said before, Michael Jordan ruined sports. Like, this is an example of how the rings culture elevates somebody. The man is 60 years old and consists of a diet of tequila, cigars, and golf.
I mean, I've heard worse.
Probably a little red meat thrown in there. There is no way.
Happy birthday, Air Jordan, from everybody other than Andy Kamenetsky.
Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Are you guys looking forward to the Air movie, the Ben Affleck, Matt Damon movie?
Yeah,
I am.
The trailer looked good.
So what's funny is there is no actual Michael Jordan actor. Like, I mean, they have the back of him. You don't see Michael Jordan. You only interact with his mother. Do you think that's interesting that they didn't include him at all?
It's an interesting choice. Yeah, it's fine because, again, when you're doing something like that, it's hard to cast somebody that famous and catch it. Right?
I actually think it's smart not to, because unless you nail it,
yeah,
it's going to be distracting. And Michael Jordan in this, I doubt he's that important
right.
of a, like he's more important to the story than he probably is as important as a character in the story.
Yes.
Like, it makes much more sense to focus on his parents, which you're seeing in the trailer, Viola Davis playing his
yes.
mom.
And the story is about Sonny Vaccaro and Phil Knight mm-hmm. basically betting their business on
yeah.
this kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the story. It's not Michael Jordan became the greatest basketball player of all time and became this logo, this brand that is known worldwide. It's about Phil Knight and Sonny Vaccaro trying to save Nike.
Yeah, I mean, and look, you can get it right. Like, the Winning Time casting across the board, they did a phenomenal job.
The Magic and Kareem characters are unbelievable.
They did a great job. Yeah. Norm Nixon's son playing him, I believe his name is Devon Nixon.
Okay.
He was phenomenal. Like, I actually was disappointed that they didn't do as much with him as I hope they would, But like across the board, they did a terrific job with the casting.
And look, this is just me. I like Ben Affleck. I like Matt Damon. I think that more often than not, they make pretty good choices about the movies
Affleck
that they make.
Affleck has been a pretty good director for the most part.
Yep. And that him as Phil Knight, it just kind of looked, because we all have a sense of what Phil Knight looks like, but I couldn't give, if you said to me, describe Phil Knight, I mean, okay, maybe.
Rich.
Yeah, rich and the only guy not looking through his phone at LeBron. That's my description of Phil Knight. Sonny Vaccaro, I haven't seen Sonny Vaccaro in a very, I couldn't tell you what Sonny Vaccaro in the 80s looked like. I don't remember
Every
that.
Time I think that I'm picturing Sonny Vaccaro, I realize I'm thinking of Jerry Tarkanian.
Well, I mean, there's reasons for that.
Oh, no. The Venn diagram yeah. overlaps. I'm just saying every time I think I'm thinking of Sonny, I'm actually thinking of Tark.
A lot of famous birthdays today. Not only Michael Jordan, but Paris Hilton turns 42 years old today.
That's hot.
And perhaps most importantly, Scott Kaplan is celebrating
hey,
the birthday.
Hey, Cappy!
Happy birthday to Cappy. You found this one, Andy. This is good news for all of the Catholics in the audience.
Oh, wait. I have one more question about the birthdays, though. So if you had to sit at a table next to one of these people, who would you want to sit next to besides Jordan?
Who
if you had to go Jim Brown, Paris Hilton, Scott Kaplan, who would you want to sit next to?
Kaplan.
So my choices are Jim Brown,
Paris Hilton, or Kaplan?
Jim Brown.
Okay.
Jim Brown would have the most interesting stories.
I don't know. Paris
I mean,
Hilton's
look,
got some
there
cool
are some
stories.
Things with Jim Brown. Like, I'm not saying that the things attached to Jim Brown and, you know, some of the past issues don't matter.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, as a one-time dinner guest, if I'm looking for the most interesting guest, if you can compartmentalize the other stuff with Jim Brown, he's had an interesting life.
He has had an interesting life. He's feisty.
He's had an interesting life. And I can eat with Cappy anytime I want.
That's why I feel.
Kaplan's a bad choice.
I feel if those, among those, I feel comfortable like, with my decision.
Yeah, and Paris Hilton, no.
She got cool stories. She's had her comeback. I don't know.
That would be your
Does
choice.
Does she really need to come back, given, like, what happens if Paris Hilton doesn't come back? She just remains, like, a billionaire?
Yeah, she remains an heiress.
Yeah, like.
Waiting into the throne of the Hilton.
That's okay. Travis will understand what I'm going to say. This is like where Beverly Hills 90210 started to fall apart. It was after college because there was just no stakes with any of their life. Like, Donna's Boutique doesn't take off. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like,
but look, what was the Blaze was the high school paper. What was the one that he and Brandon started that was the more like kind of the independent? What was that called?
I don't know. But
the Beverly Beat or something
like
something like that.
But that's again, the stakes start becoming. You don't worry about Steve Sanders' future.
No.
He's gonna be fine.
Yeah, well, Rush left him a nice little nest egg, and you know Samantha with her series, she was a television star. So there was a lot going on right there. If you are a Catholic and you are an observant Catholic, you're going to need some non-meat options in your life before too long, once Lent comes around. You can get a fish sandwich at 7-Eleven for $2. So there you go.
I don't think I want any part.
$2
fish
sandwich, mate.
At 7-Eleven.
$2.
And also you can probably get it in Iowa.
Give me
where
my
it's
filet-o fish. We grew up eating filet-o
fish.
Filet-o fish
is a decent fish sandwich.
It's solid.
It's fine.
It's better than 7-Eleven. You're rolling the dice there, aren't you?
It feels risky.
Like you and your sushi.
Grocery store sushi's
no,
fine.
No, but 7-Eleven sushi
I'm not
dangerous.
Doing that. We're
it's
not
hazardous.
Doing that.
It should come with a warning label.
The Albertsons has a little sushi guy.
Oh, it's great.
They're making his stuff. It's fine.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. By my house they do.
Ralph's sushi is totally fine.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
No.
Nothing wrong with it.
Vending machine sushi?
No.
I know
not
in Japan
working.
That's a thing. No. A very popular
I will
thing.
Trust it in Japan. I will not trust it here.
Yeah, they know sushi in Japan.
Pasadena?
Also, because Japan, you're close to the water at any point in time, probably. Like, you know, it's a little
good
closer.
Good point.
Yeah, that may
good
go. Point. It's basically like straight from the ocean to the vending machine.
One more here before we go to Super Crosstalk. The Tetris movie is getting ready to be made, Andy. That's a thing.
No, it's not even ready to be made. There's
made?
Trailers for it. There's
it's
trailers for the Tetris
just
movie.
Just so I'm understanding, the blocks that you rotate and put together.
But the making of that game and the pitching of it, it's an absolute.
Oh, that. It's not.
It's not Tetris.
No, it's not like Super Mario Bros. Yeah, it's not Super Mario Brothers.
It's not. Well, they turned Battleship into a movie.
Right. It's not that.
So it's about the invention of Tetris.
Okay,
that makes more sense.
By the way, how long you're waiting for that long, skinny one? And they say, I get a four stacker.
Yep.
It's just so satisfying. Mm-hmm. And then you get that weird one, you're near the top. The tension in the movie must be astronomical.
From what I gather in the trailer, it is about the pitching of this video game concept, but also too, it involves the Russians in some way.
Like, well, it had a Russian theme. Like the St. Basil's Cathedral was like the logo for
Again, I don't know all of the ins and outs of it, but it involves the pitching of the game, the creation of it, getting somebody to bankroll it, and then the Russians.
What's the name of the Pedro Pascal? It's on HBO Max, super popular right now.
The
Last of Us. This is going to spawn an entire generation of video. Because there's been there before. We've seen Lara Croft. We've seen some of these others.
But Last of Us is fantastic.
I haven't met
Pedro Pascal is great.
I haven't heard one person say, eh. Everybody raves.
Unbelievable.
I need to check it out.
Yeah.
I need to check it out. Let's do a super crosstalk. All right. So I'm going to, Ramona.
So weird. You go to a commercial break and then nobody talks to anybody. It's just like for that entire
intro, my breath, Mace.
Nobody even has a not a hey, not a what's going on, not
hi,
a how you been,
how have you
nothing.
Been?
It's
how
just
have you
like
been?
Silence.
Good
in
to
here.
See you.
It's like when we go to break on. Hey, Mace. It's like when we go to commercials on Mason and Ireland. John and I often just
occasional
on our computer. We don't.
You and John have seen enough of each other over the
years.
Enough.
I've heard all the stories. Couple, God knows the audience has heard a lot of stories too.
All right. So I don't know if you heard this or not, Mace. Today's Michael Jordan's 60th birthday.
Oh, I heard it was Scott Kaplan's birthday.
It's also Cappy's birthday.
Okay.
But he shares.
He shares it
with a.
I heard Jim Brown also.
Jim Brown.
Yep.
Yeah. Which reminded me, was it you telling the story the other day?
Oh yeah. Him? Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Hope so. It is my show.
After saying nothing for weeks at a time,
yes.
I dig that. Happy birthday to MJ at 60. Ramona was listening and just sent the following, because I asked Andy, could Michael Jordan, 60-year-old Michael Jordan,
right.
Cigars, tequila, owner of the Charlotte franchise, are they the Hornets again? They're the Hornets again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, could he score 5 points a game? I think that it's not totally out of the question that he could. Ramona is in. Jordan can still play. Not at the level he used to, but for 5 to 10 minutes, I bet he'd be awesome.
Wow.
But
not a chance.
I don't think that's real.
No chance.
No chance. No chance.
Not asking him to be
Michael
Jordan. I don't
know. 60 years old?
Michael Jordan can't get... I know NBA teams don't really practice anymore. He can't get through a practice.
Not asking him to. We're asking him to play 10 minutes a night and score 5 points.
A 60-year-old, regardless of his previously superhero-level talents, cannot play.
He thought he could do
in
it
today's
at
50. NBA. I know he did.
His water bottle is going to be tequila.
Hey, whatever. Hydration is hydration.
Like, it's going to be Sincoro. It's just going to be Sincoro. Like, not even in a water bottle. It's going to be out of the glass bottle.
I'm going to wait for Ramona to get here because she's the only one on my side with this. I feel like this is something that I.
If he does this,
like
he probably
to
is to plug Sincoro. That's actually why he's doing it.
Yeah. He goes to the bench, he turns to the camera, and he takes a,
not a
nice
terrible
little
idea.
Sip along the way.
So, Momo's not here yet, so I want to bring this up.
All right.
So Momo has this way of saying something that seems innocuous, but says it in a way that kind of makes you feel bad. So yesterday, I beat Ramona in Papa Shot. And she had hailed her Papa Shot skills. I once scored 63 Papa Shot baskets in 60 seconds or whatever the hell it was.
That's impossible, but go on.
Then I just go beat her.
I
just go beat her. So here's what she said. I can't believe I lost. To you.
It's the to you.
To you.
It's the to you.
That is rough, man.
I kind of see where she's coming from.
No, come on. Have you not seen my pickleball skills?
I was just going to say, so my encounters with you in athletic endeavors include basketball.
Yes.
Didn't go great for
no,
you.
No, not real good.
Softball.
I was pretty. Hey. Hey.
Mace, come on.
No, I was
come
good. On. I was 2 for 2.
Good?
2 for 2.
Okay, that.
And made a great diving play in right field. Almost.
In the box score, you might have been 2 for 2.
Yeah.
The eye test might have a different story.
The eye test showed
two me. For that two I, is 2 for 2.
Two for two is two for two.
Strongly disagree. I've seen you swing a golf club.
I just not any good at that.
It's not your thing.
Yeah, not good at that.
And then I saw the video last night of you playing pickleball.
Okay.
So when she says, I lost to you,
yeah,
I kind of get it.
So I played pickleball for
an hour and 45 minutes.
That's a long time.
They chose 10 seconds and turned it into this video. It really, they didn't show my great shots, my great saves, my hand fight, me staying out of the kitchen, my serve. They didn't show any of this.
So this was selective editing is what you're saying.
Oh, of course it was. Well, we were out there for an hour and 45 minutes, and there's like literally 30 seconds of me falling.
Are you demanding that they release the Snyder Cut?
Release, yeah, exactly right. Release the full tape. Release it.
I have not seen the full tape. I only saw what I saw on Twitter yesterday. At what point, as you're going down, do you realize this is going to be bad? Because we've all had that moment where it's like, okay, my weight is out over my feet.
Yes,
I'm going down.
Right.
Do you tuck and try to roll and save it? Do you try to get your hands down? Or do you just do what you did in the basketball game and lead with your chin?
No, you do not lead with your chin. I've learned that lesson once and for all. Don't lead with your face. But I did find a way to roll onto my right shoulder, rolled right out of it, popped right back up.
The pickleball court is abrasive, too. It's like a tennis court, right?
It is.
So you look relatively unscathed. I thought there might be an abrasion or something.
Nothing. I came out of that just fine.
Was it your first time playing?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It's fun. I actually think I'm glad that I did that. We'll probably go out and play again before the tournament on March the 18th. But I found myself to be kind of credible at the game. I was totally credible.
You buying this, Andy?
Bergman, was I or was I not credible?
He was actually credible, okay. Yes.
He
was actually, Travis, like you play in a decent amount, right?
Occasionally.
You've played.
Yes.
He was dropping it at my feet constantly, so I wasn't able to get to it.
I just went at Greg's feet every time.
So you have touch.
Yeah.
And direction.
Yeah,
like to be able
Greg's feet every time.
That's the shot that's super hard to defend. That ball that's right at your feet.
Bergman could not defend it.
Do you understand it's the scoring easy. System? Because Travis tried to explain this to me.
It's 3-1-2. Yes. I don't even know what the hell
super,
that means.
It's not that difficult. So like most times, it's not.
It's not. Once you, it's like speaking a language. Once you know it, it's like, oh, it's not that bad.
It's 3-4-1.
It could be 3-4-1.
The third number
is 3-4-2. Yeah. You could win the point and the score doesn't change at all.
Right.
It's, yeah, there's a lot going on.
So you
on
play
there.
A fair amount?
I wouldn't say a fair amount. I've played maybe a half dozen times in
so
my
you
life.
Play enough to know.
I know how to keep score.
Yeah, you know how
I know
to keep
you have
score.
To be out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
Unless it's on the bounce.
Yeah.
Then you can come in.
But at the beginning, I was unaware of the kitchen. I was just charging the net and slamming the ball.
There's a reason the kitchen exists, because the net's
the guy kept saying, I love your aggressiveness, but.
Who's the guy?
His name is Ara, who was
Calvin.
And Calvin, they're running the tournament for us.
Okay.
And they gave me, Bergman, and Jorge pickleball lessons
on
Wednesday night.
Oh, so you guys got a
tonight.
Primer.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I forgot.
What are the keys?
Keys.
Don't fall on your face.
Let it bounce once on the return.
Yes. Well, you have to until the third volley.
Then
you can play it out of the air unless you're in the kitchen. Oh,
and then get to the front of the kitchen as quickly as possible and turn it into a hand fight. And then hit it at Bergman's feet.
But I thought you can't go into the kitchen.
You can get right up to the line.
Up to the line. You can't touch the line, but you can get right up to the line.
So think of the kitchen like a tennis court, right? Think of the service boxes as the kitchen.
Okay.
You can't be in the service boxes. You can be right up against them.
Okay.
Are the Cam brothers going to play in this tournament?
We're both supposed to play in it. I don't know if we're teamed together or whatever. Like, I've been told very little about this. I did get my racket, though, which is exciting.
Yeah, the rackets are really cool.
They are really cool.
Yeah, they're really cool.
I assume we're teamed up. I'm going to be there. I'm just going to go where
I'm
told to go.
You have the same Twitter handle. You have to be the same pickleball team.
But you see, I feel like we should be separated because it's better for us in promoting the Twitter account if we're not on the same court.
Oh, that's right. You got to promote the Locked On podcast
exactly.
Also.
5 days a week on
iTunes.
Do
it on two courts.
There's a YouTube
Spotify,
element.
There is a YouTube.
Apple. There's a YouTube element. Stitcher.
Right.
Don't forget Stitcher.
Stitcher. So it
basically,
helps.
Mace, wherever you get your podcast. Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
And you know what? It is never behind a paywall. It's always free.
Yes. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's nice. Yeah.
Your team every day.
Every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're doing one, too.
I do.
You do the Rams one. You do the Lakers
one. We're
on
a bit of a hiatus during the offseason.
Are you?
I will readdress it soon.
Did you see Jalen Ramsey today?
Delete the tweet?
He tweeted out, I might be I won't be cut, but I could be traded.
Yeah.
Then he deleted that.
Yeah.
And said just, I won't be cut.
That feels like that's going to happen.
Seems like it is.
Yeah, that because no one's really pretending that it's not.
Right.
No one's saying that it's imminent, but it feels fairly
imminent. Does
that
make any sense?
Sure.
You got one of the best cornerbacks in the league. Why are you going to deal him?
So I can get two good-ish offensive linemen. So I'm gonna trade.
So it's clearing the cap space or it's getting the picks?
I'm trading your dollar for four quarters. That's basically what it is. I'm going to fill four holes instead of one. They, like, that defense with Aaron Donald will always be pretty good,
yeah,
but they're going to look a lot different without him
if, in fact, that's
how it goes. But it doesn't matter how good the defense is if your quarterback's getting clobbered every time he snaps the ball.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's what you got to get
offensive line. 13 different offensive line combinations. Yeah.
I mean, we saw last year what it looks like in the offense isn't right. I mean, this is a team that is, in a lot of ways, built. They are at their best when their offense is really explosive and really unpredictable.
Yeah.
If they don't have that, they're a different team.
Hey, Ori.
What's that?
So we do every day this Bob Nightingale impression. Do you know Bob Nightingale?
I know. Yes.
Baseball writer.
Yes.
So he always used to come on the show when we had a lot of guests. And he would always say, hey, Steve. Hey, John. Hey, Steve. Hey, John. So now every morning, hey, Ori. Hey, Greg.
He's like the Mitch Kupchak of baseball writers.
It really is, but it's the weirdest impression to dust off every single day. It's our Bob Nightingale impression.
You beat me to it. It's like, I don't know if there's...
Hey, Jerome. Hey, Annie. Hey.
That's Emily. The one that you go Taylor. With is interesting.
Like, you could have actually not clarified it, and people would have thought you guys were doing a Mitch bit.
Yeah.
Well, Did Mitch do that?
Well, Stephen John. Well,
Mitch always sounded like he's having the worst day of his life.
Steve.
Yeah, I heard from a few reliable sources that Mitch was not a fan of Mitch voice.
Mama once walked me right up to Mitch and said, do your voice for Mitch.
Yeah. Knowing that he wasn't a fan, Momo, or did you?
Yeah, you stuck
stumble
me
into it
in that moment. We were just talking about impressions where you made me do an impression for Mitch to Mitch.
I was so proud of you. Oh. You nailed it right to him. Like you.
It was the wrong thing. Mitch would never. I mean, how could I ever be credible again? Yeah, you walk up somebody and do an impression.
But it was a good impression, at least.
Well,
at least you got that part right.
I think he listens to the station.
Oh, come on.
No, I know.
Does
he
really?
I knew he did.
I can tell you again, as somebody who heard from credible sources that Mitch does not like Mitch voice, he has to be hearing Mitch voice.
So you think
like
he did?
Oh, you think he heard it? No, I think that Mitch is way funnier than people gave him credit for. I have heard it him myself.
I didn't say that he's not funny.
Funny is well down the list of adjectives that I would have expected.
But he has a sense of humor, especially about himself. He does.
Does he?
Yes. I've seen Mitch unplugged.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe he just did not like my impression of him.
But
we all did a Mitch impression.
I feel like
a while.
Brian and I really opened the floodgates of Mitch speak.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. I know Mitch listened to your show.
Really?
I know that because when he was the general manager, there were times when I heard from people in the building like, oh, hey, we were just talking to you. Mitch heard you on the way in, you know, like
wow.
He agreed with what you guys were, you know, like he listened. There was one time when I was talking and I said something and they were like, did you call Ramona and tell her to say that or something like, do you tell her what we're thinking? Right. Because it was almost like as if there was some PR messaging there. And I really hadn't talked to anybody. We were just, I think it was about like the Kobe contract or
something.
Well, Stephen
John,
right?
We believe the best course for the franchise
Kobe
moving
Bryant
forward
with the franchise.
Kobe Bryant.
It's pretty good. You want to tell these guys
sign an extension.
Why Michael Jordan could score 5 points a game?
Yeah, because he's a really good shooter and he's super competitive.
Yes.
And like he would get out there and he would just get into the post and just bully people. He would
at 60. He can't bully people at 60.
He's
at 60.
He's in shape.
You're getting bullied.
He's not in NBA shape. Like he's not going to go out there and look like Michael Jordan.
No.
But he would go out there and he's so competitive. Do you remember that Wright Thompson story a few years ago?
Yeah. I think he's going to look more like Tracy Jordan.
He'd figure it out.
He would get in there and if you put okay, this is a crazy, crazy statement, and I'm gonna say it.
Okay,
it's
do it.
Friday,
do right? it. It's effing Friday.
You could put Michael Jordan in the post against name me whatever the best defender you want in the league, and he could score on him. Not, I'm not saying every time. I'm not saying like, But like you put him against Giannis, he would find a way to score.
This is where mythology.
Hyperbole!
This is where mythologizing athletes just, I think, gets out of control.
It's mythologization.
Yes.
Easy for it is to. Total mythologization.
Okay, you want to hear a really big
just
word
for that?
Just
invented that word,
you
want, yeah.
It's a real word. This is a really
no,
big
word. Okay, go ahead.
It's called hagiography.
Yes.
I know what that is. Hagiography.
I know that one. Yeah, hey. Yeah.
That's an SAT word.
What does that mean?
That's an SAT.
It's a Stanford word.
Turning people into like religious
godlike
figures.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. Turning mortals into godlike
no,
figures.
No, I think that old man, he has like old man game. Like he's really competitive.
He'd be earthbound.
He's in decent shape. He would like, you know, he'd like body up. He'd throw a shoulder into him. He'd create some space. He'd Euro step. He'd go up and under. He could get a shot off. Like
didn't even have a Euro step when he played, did they?
He learned
Was
one.
There such a thing as a Euro step?
That Wright Thompson story from like 10 years ago when he turned 50.
50, yeah.
Okay. He was talking to his trainer, Trim Grover, about whether or not he could play at 50. Like he wanted that challenge.
I know he would never do this. You guys may remember. You remember Minnie Minoso?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
I
think it was
5 decades?
6 decades.
6 decades.
Where
that's crazy.
Just because he started young, played till he was very old, he covered like 4.
But like came in as a pinch hitter, right?
Came in and had like an at-bat or two, like when the 70s rolled around. And then 1980 rolls around, yeah. They give him an at-bat just so he could say, I played Major League Baseball for whatever it was, six decades, whatever
yeah.
It was. Kind of want a mini Minoso moment for Jordan. He would never do it, but just... I would love to see if he could get a couple of buckets. He's not going to score 10 points, but he could get 5.
I have sent a text to his longtime trainer, Tim Grover.
Mm-hmm.
I sent that to him.
Today?
Yeah, right now when I was listening to you there. I'm going to see. I'll screenshot it when he writes back.
I think it's all hagiography.
You should stick
Whatever.
With the original
I went to Bowling Green.
I have to apologize to Steve Mason, though.
Yes.
I was thinking about yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I think that was more about me being disappointed in my own performance at the Papa Shot.
Yeah.
Because, like...
I can't believe I lost to you.
I mean, no, it's more that I used to be a college athlete, okay?
Yeah.
And this is a skill, this Papa Shot skill, that if I practice a little bit, I can get the form. I actually stayed after the show for 20
Momo.
Minutes.
This
Ask
is
Bergman.
Why. This is
a
why.
Rematch today.
No, but this is why Momo still thinks, this is the same
yes.
mindset. The same mindset that makes her think she's still the athlete she was
no,
in
no,
the prime.
I don't think that.
When
I
Momo
know
was
that
speedy
I'm not.
Momo. When Momo was fast, I've seen video of this. You were super fast.
I was really fast. That was 25 years and 25 pounds ago.
Right,
you
but
know?
This is the same
type
of mindset that leads you to believe Jordan could still do this at 60.
But
here's
the difference. What you were describing about, hey, no, I used to be good at this. Why am I still not as good as... It's exactly the way that I look at these things
yes.
for exactly the same reasons, right?
If I practice, like literally, I stayed after and I practiced for like 20 minutes.
If
and guess
I,
what? Jorge is the Papa Shot king,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Greg and I play. Greg's pretty good.
Jorge's
but Jorge
a very underrated
is
athlete.
Really
yeah.
good.
But what
and
you're
he brought the best out of me, and I like every single time I play, like Jorge got, what did I get?
58
you get, like,
yesterday.
And I got
oh, 54, 54.
But it burned you up, right?
It made me mad. I couldn't drive home until I practiced a
little. I'm in the exact same boat that you are for virtually the same reasons. Neither of us are Jordan competitive
100%.
Or Jordan skilled
yes.
or any of these things. So you take whatever that little
yeah,
thing
that little
in your brain
thing.
Is and amplify at times a billion
I mean,
in Michael
right.
Jordan's sense. He's getting 5
this
points.
This is not about you. That was
well,
about
the way
me.
You said it,
I know.
You made it about
no, that
me.
Was a jerk move on my
right.
part. That's why I'm apologizing.
I was the ninth man on my high school basketball team.
Okay, but you're also
look out,
like
ninth
a little,
man of the year.
It's not
rotation
that.
Of
it's
eight.
That I used to be good at that.
Yeah.
So I was mad that I wasn't good at that yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super Crosstalk, powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. Mason and Ireland coming up next.